My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Colonel Chris Perkins. He is a former Special Forces officer, former Green Beret, more than 20 years in the U.S. Army. He is now the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 11th Congressional District. 2 years ago, that was an extremely tight race. The boundaries of the district have changed a little bit, supposedly as an advantage to incumbent Democrat Jerry Connolly, but Colonel Perkins is fighting hard in this race, and recent comments by Congressman Connolly may narrow the gap even more here. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, I am pleased to be here.
Well, the thing that has gotten a lot of people's attention, both in and around the Beltway and even beyond as they follow this national campaign for control of the House of Representatives, is something Congressman Connolly said at a Chamber of Commerce, and he did not back away from it when asked about it later. In fact, he doubled down on it, basically saying that you are unqualified, and really anyone who's been in the military for a long time is unqualified for a seat in Congress because they haven't been staying put in one area long enough to build up what he calls sweat equity in local issues. What did you make of that?
Well, I have to admit, Greg, that I did take offense on it. The first time I heard it was my comment to my staffer was, you know, I've been shot at by real bullets. These words don't mean anything. But the more I realized how this disenfranchises all veterans, it really got me annoyed. What he's doing is he's reacting to a comment that I made that you can't run on for federal office on your local political record, no matter how good that might be. That it's less convenient to talk about your votes on Obamacare and your votes on sequestration, these big defense cuts. So he took that interesting tack, which was basically to say, where has Perkins been while I was doing all these great things for the district? And even after pointing out that, you know, I spent some quality time in some of these places that that most of us just read about in National Geographic or the front page of the news, that didn't matter to him. So, Greg, I got to tell you, I think it's a tack I did not expect him to play.
Obviously, it's a military-heavy district, both active duty and veterans. What are you hearing from folks when you're out there?
Well, Greg, you made an interesting point. He redistricted this to be a little bit more favorable to him. He brought in districts in the north and the south with a higher Democratic demographic. But what he did not factor in is that he brought in a number of veterans up in the Reston area and the Dumfries area, so down in the south. So a lot of veterans are in this new district with the highest per capita or the highest density, if you will, of veterans in the 11th District of Virginia. And they're mad. They're just, our phone is ringing off the hook here at the headquarters.
Let's talk about your knowledge of the district. You have been deployed, as you mentioned, a number of times. So how long have you been in the area, and what do you see as the greatest needs for the area you'd like to represent?
Well, I moved here in 1991 when Uncle Sam sent me to the Pentagon for the first time. Actually, he sent me to Capitol Hill as a congressional fellow. So I've been here for the last 22 years. The biggest issue that we're seeing right now is the sequestration issue that I mentioned before. The 11th District, Greg, is number one hardest hit of all 435 districts if these defense cuts go forward. So I think certainly from a small business perspective, and even the public sector employees who will be losing their jobs and the defense contractors, these defense cuts that Congressman Connolly has voted in favor of, interesting enough, is the number one issue, and we've got to fix that. Chairman McKeon of the Armed Service Committee is going to do what he can to get me a slot on that committee so that I can help.
Now, of course, President Obama has said initially that he would veto any efforts to reverse sequestration. He changed his position on that for one of the debates. What about Connolly? I'm guessing when you say he supported sequestration, you're talking about the debt ceiling deal from last summer. Has he changed his position publicly on that at all?
Actually, he doubled down on that as well. Greg, if you recall, that vote that you're talking about that happened in November split the delegation in half. We had four Republicans voting for the cuts, four Republicans voting against the cuts here in Virginia. And then two of the Democrats, including Connolly, voted for them. And even Mr. Moran had the good sense to vote against the cuts because he knew it would hit the 8th District where he is to our east hard. What I'm really referring to, though, Greg, is the Reconciliation Act that happened in May where they offered up another series of cuts that would have replaced the cuts to defense with non-defense cuts. And once again, Jerry Connolly tried to block that. He favors tax increases instead.
What else do you think will be a factor in this race, or is that the overarching issue given the economic impact on the district?
Well, I think that in addition to the fact that he's really poked the hornet's nest recently over these comments regarding my military status and the sequestration, I think a lot of folks have not forgiven him for his vote on Obamacare. We had the vast majority of small businesses here in the 11th District begging him not to do this, that it would adversely affect their ability to grow. He went ahead and voted the way he did, as we all know, and I think that folks are going to hold him accountable for that.
Let's talk about a couple other quick issues before we let you go. First of all, the economy, overall number one issue here, spending, debt. How aggressive would you be on that, and how specific can you get on how you'd address that?
Well, the cuts have to happen. We're just running this deficit, this $1 trillion deficit, Greg, is just, it can't go on. We're at $16 trillion in debt, projected to go to $19. We've got to make the cuts. You can't take them off the table. You just got to do it some other way other than defense at this point. Folks forget that there's another $500 billion cut to defense that was part of that Budget Control Act last November, not tied to sequestration. I think a $500 billion coming out of defense is enough. What we've got to do is look at the elephant in the room. That's the 48 cents on every dollar we spend as a federal government next year that is going towards entitlement. We have got to come together in a bipartisan manner and solve that problem. It is half of our fiscal spending next year.
Would you support another extension of the debt ceiling? Some people say you have to do it. It's the only responsible thing to do, despite how painful it might be. Others say you got to draw the line somewhere. We wouldn't actually default. So vote no the next time it comes up. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that that we kicked the can because we were unprepared last time to do it. If we are not prepared to tie it to cuts to spending, then we should not do it. I'll take the latter option there.
What do you feel? What's your gut feeling heading in the last few days here?
I think we're going to see a sea change here. I think that at the end of the day, Mr. Conley has suggested he's going to win by more than 10 points. I think he is going to be awakened in the morning by a very disappointing news for him. I think we're going to win.
Well, we'll certainly be tracking that as well as so many other things on election night. Colonel, thank you very much for your time.
Greg, thank you, and I mean that. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Chris Perkins, a retired colonel, U.S. Army, Special Forces, Green Beret, now the Republican nominee for Congress in Virginia's 11th Congressional District against incumbent Democrat Jerry Connolly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.